It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said. And yeah, you can also listen to us live online at rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Or download the podcast versions like almost 19,000 other people have. Going to our website, rightsideradio.org, or any other podcasting app that you use. Just love this opportunity to be with you every single day. And folks, I'm going to tell you, this show is there because of you. So thank you for that. Hey, listen, number two on the triple dipper for the day. So number one was, who's really in charge? I spent a lot of time talking about the absentee cabinet members of the Biden administration, wondering what in the world is going on with Javier Becerra when we don't even know where he is. And yet we're seeing a pandemic right now. Shouldn't he be around? Number two in the triple dipper, let's step into state politics for a minute. Let's do a primer on primaries is what I'm calling number two. And I wanted to get somebody on with us who has been plugged into state politics for a while, who knows the players, who knows the ins and outs. And so I reached out this morning to Sean Ross, who's a principal at SR Communications. He's former editor-in-chief for Yellowhammer News. And in full disclosure, he's also working with the Britt campaign right now for U.S. Senate. But Sean Ross is on the line with us right now. Hey, Sean, thanks for joining us on Right Side Radio today.
Hey, Phil, great to be with y'all. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, listen, man, I kind of have a theory that in a primary, and I'm not talking about an open seat primary, where kind of like the one with Britt and Brooks and the others, that's an open seat, so it's like fair game. When you see an incumbent, yeah, though, being challenged by someone in their own party, I've always thought it was one of two things. It either is, you know, you're not doing a good job, so I want you out of there, or I just want your job. It's one of those two things, really. But we got election season coming, and I'm starting to see primaries. What are you seeing or sensing out there in state politics with primaries right now?
Yeah, there are a few out there. Two really stand out to me that I'll kind of single out here. The first is Senator Gerald Allen being challenged by a gentleman named Trip Powell. Trip is a kind of a city of Tuscaloosa guy. Gerald Allen, while he certainly represents the city of Tuscaloosa, is also more of a rural Tuscaloosa, Fayette County kind of district. That's one where you kind of get the sense that the, I want to say, maybe more moderate sensibilities within the city of Tuscaloosa itself want a more moderate senator in that district. Obviously, you have part of the University of Alabama included in that district. That's one where Gerald Allen obviously is an outspoken, champion on some social conservative issues that probably makes some of those more moderate folks, some of the business community, uncomfortable. So that's one, yeah, to watch. I think Gerald Allen's going to be tough to beat. The other, a pretty similar situation, is Senator Tom Watley over in the Lee Chambers Counties area. He has a gentleman from within the city of Auburn running who, you know, seems to be a pretty strong member of the local business community as well. Same situation, Tom Watley, expect him to run strong in the rural parts of the district. Obviously, he lives in the city of Auburn himself, too, so he's going to be tough to beat. He's going to be very well-funded. Across the state, you mentioned it, a lot of, and sometimes that kind of discontent you see with incumbents doesn't necessarily come from what you would consider the voting base. Maybe it's discontent from stakeholders or what we normally call special interest groups.
Yeah.
And really, this cycle, I thought there were going to be some more challengers, to be honest. I know there are a few interesting incumbent challenges that are kind of cropping up, but I thought there might be some more. Obviously, there's some fun open seat races too, but not too many incumbents being challenged right now.
Well, I'm looking at it right now, and for those who don't know, the Republican Party opens up its qualifying. So all of the legislative and statewide races, they do what's called party qualifying, where they have to actually register with the party and be qualified unless they're challenged or disapproved in some way. And that's pretty much the month of January. I think January 4th through the 28th, is that right? Do you know?
That's right, yeah. Qualifying will open up this coming Tuesday, so it'll be kind of an interesting 3 weeks here.
Yeah, and that's when we'll really find out. I mean, basically, if they don't qualify within the month of January, then they're running uncontested at that point. But if they are, and like you said, the guy running against Tom Watley, his name is Jay Hovey. Last I saw, he has not filed any paperwork yet, but he has issued a press release. But I've seen some others, too, in the House. You've got, of course, Representative Mac Butler has declared running against current incumbent Representative Gil Isbell. And I think that's going to be one where Mac Butler is seen as far more conservative than Gil Isbell, and is going to be trying to challenge him in that regard. I think we're also seeing, I had another one here that was in the House that's drawing a lot of attention, but they're popping up here and there. I think the next 30 days are going to be significant.
Yeah.
Say again.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is the one you're thinking of, but Vicky Drake has a pretty serious challenger, Susan DeBose in Shelby County.
That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah, Dickie Drake, former Air National Guard guy, pretty good dude, but Susan DeBose is definitely a serious challenger. I think the redistricting kind of hurt her, if I'm not mistaken, but kind of drew her out of a lot of her strong base, but she's still in the running as far as I know. I guess, let me ask you this, though. There are times when you see, like you said, you see sort of a, I would call an inside-the-bubble effort to get someone else in there, and that may be the case in some of these. But then again, sometimes it's an issues-based. For instance, in 2010, when I got elected, I came in with the Republican wave, with Mike Hubbard and Del Marsh kind of leading the charge on that. All said and done, we were very issues-based. Are you seeing any particular issues that you think are creating potential primaries right now?
Not really. And, I thought the gas tax could be an issue in certain districts where that generated some more primary challengers, but we haven't really seen that. We really haven't. And that's going to be interesting whether that really even becomes an issue for some of these legislators. Obviously, it polls and it's different in each district, of course, but looking at from a statewide perspective, it's not something that really polls off the charts. And maybe that's kind of being reflected in that we're not seeing too many primary challengers because of it. But, just with how red our state is, we're not in a situation like Virginia where you're going to have, issues like education and anti-mandate and that kind of thing generate general kind of issues, too. I mean, we don't have many districts in the state at all that are purple and are really going to be contested at all in a general election.
No, and I tend to agree. I mean, on this show, I've said many times that being a Republican does not make you a conservative. And in fact, there are times when I really feel like being a heavy red state like we are also makes those who are red kind of lazy because they don't have a lot of competition. They don't have to set themselves apart. They don't have to pursue the things that the base is looking for. And I think very often what we're seeing right now, me personally, I'm talking here, I think that the Montgomery inside the bubble politicians, most of the incumbents, have begun to lean more moderate, but the base, I think, in Alabama is still very conservative, more to the right. I really feel like for some of these primaries to happen, it's going to, and I agree with you, the gas tax is an issue that is not being made an issue yet. I think it's going to take a well-funded opponent having to create the firestorm around the issues that do exist, but they're not creating them as yet. And that's kind of where we are right now.
Yeah, I think so. And, it's going to be interesting how the 2022 session plays into this. Obviously, they're going to start the second week of January there. That's going to overlap with qualifying just for a couple weeks. I think you're going to see some issues that are certainly going to be winners for incumbents. I think they're finally going to get the constitutional carry issue figured out. I know it's going to be a battle. Obviously, the sheriffs very much rely on that funding. That's their side of the debate. But I think the political winds have finally shifted enough where that's going to get over the finish line. And I think you'll see some other similar issues to that where they're definitely winners with the base. We still have to figure out just the COVID reactions, whether we're talking vaccine mandates, really just all aspects of the pandemic. We still haven't figured that out for now or the future. So I think they're going to have to revisit a couple things.
Yeah, I think they definitely going to have to. And in fact, I think it's one of those cases where they'd better. If they don't, I think one of the things that's causing some of the primaries to uptick, I think, a little bit, and I've got a list of them right now, but I think some of the things that are causing the primaries to potentially uptick is a sense of, where were you when I needed you? Why didn't you do that thing? Yeah. It's not always you raised my taxes or you did that thing. Sometimes it's, why didn't you do something when you had a chance? And I think there's been a sense that, you know, and I really appreciate it, and I gave him props for it, that when the governor called them in for a special session, she was avoiding the idea, in my opinion, of doing something active on COVID mandates, but the legislature did choose to go ahead and go outside the call and do some things in special session. But there's a base out there that believes they didn't go far enough, and I think the what didn't you do is going to be just as important sometimes. So I'm looking at right now, Sean, I got a list here. In the northern part of the state, we've got House District 4, Parker Moore has drawn, I'm not even talking about open seats, these are incumbents. Parker Moore has drawn two Republican primary opponents. You've got Tim Wadsworth has got two Republican primary opponents. Who else? Tommy Haynes has drawn a Republican primary. Gil Lisbell has drawn a Republican primary. Debbie Wood. Golly, there's more than I thought there was. Dickie Drake, Jim Carnes. They've all drawn primaries, even though they're running as incumbents. Cynthia Almond. So yeah, we got a few, man. There's a few. It's going to be interesting. Hey, listen, yeah. We got to take a break right now. Sean, you got ability to hang on during a break so we can go do that and come right back?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to.
All right. We're on with Sean Ross from SR Communications, former editor-in-chief of Yellowhammer News. Somebody who's been around state politics for a little bit. We'll get back with him and talk about a primer on primaries, where we're headed in the political season coming up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams. The News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama is this station, and the biggest show, according to the ratings across North Alabama, is this show, and we're glad to have you with us. We're going right back to the phone. Sean Ross is with us. He's the principal at SR Communications, former editor-in-chief of Yellowhammer News. He's been plugged into state politics for a while, works for candidates, does other things in politics. So, hey, Sean, thanks for staying on through the break. Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
I did clarify you are not involved with any candidates in the gubernatorial race. Am I correct in saying that?
That's right.
All right. That being said, we now have some. I would call them bigger ticket challengers. Dean Odle and I've forgotten the Democrat's name, Chig something. But they're not, in my opinion, they're not making the cut right now. But then Tim James dropped in, and the day after he did, Lindy Blanchard switched over from the Senate race into the governor's race. Not bringing a whole lot of chutzpah in her campaign yet, but she does bring her $5 million. So all that to say, what are you thinking, what are you seeing with regards to the governor's race right now?
Yeah, there are a couple of key questions. First of all, is Linda Blanchard actually going to spend nearly that amount of money? You know, she, quote-unquote, had it in the Senate race, but really didn't spend it there either. That's going to be a factor. You know, we're going to need to see some more, I think, fight from her too. And, you know, by that, I mean, just frankly, the willingness to take direct shots at the governor, because you're really going to have to run this as a referendum on Kay Ivey if you're going to beat her. And that's going to take some sharp elbows to do. I think it's going to be tough to do, even if you do all the right things and have all the right resources and have the right candidate. I certainly don't think either Tim James or Linda Blanchard has, you know, proven that they're that person yet. Tim James certainly has shown that he's willing to fight and take direct jabs. I just don't think he's going to have the financial resources to really compete in a serious manner. I think he can make things interesting for us, but when you really get down to the number of votes that he's going to need, I just don't quite see it yet. So they have some questions to answer. We'll see if they're really serious, or, you know, it's more of a future building thing for Linda Blanchard, for example. I hope we get a competitive race. I mean, I think it's just good for the state that you have a debate about the issues in a serious manner. So hopefully we can have that.
No, I totally agree with that. Having known Kay Ivey myself personally for quite a while, worked with her, campaigned with her. She came up here and campaigned for me when I ran for re-election. All that to say, I've got no issues with her personally, but some of the policies and directions that have come out of her office, in my opinion, have earned at least a serious debate, a serious challenge. So that being said, I think really right now the goal is kind of like what it is. I know it's not the goal, but one strategy right now, sort of like in the U.S. Senate race, is get to a runoff. And if Tim James can keep her from getting past 50%, or if Lindy Blanchard can do so, and then they combine their efforts afterwards to try and take down the incumbent, that's where I think it gets dicey. Technically, you've got, what, five names in that race, even though two of them are very small in terms of their actual opportunity for percentage points. But, yeah, I think it's going to be one of those interesting ones to see. That being said, yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to add, I think we still need to figure out what Jim Ziegler is going to do, too, because he can just naturally pull, and I'm not talking about 30% or anything like that, but he can probably pull 10%, and that'd be important for that runoff factor.
No, I think you're exactly right. In fact, I had a conversation on the air about Jim Ziegler not long ago. I mean, I don't know that he could ever get to the point of taking the race, but he can take away from someone in the race, and that creates other opportunities. He could be a spoiler as much as anything, so it'll play out that way. Well, we'll know soon. He's got to qualify, right?
That's right, but, yeah. He has to pick a race to run for. I mean, I don't think he's retiring.
No, I don't think he is either. I think he's got another chapter of his book he's got to add. So,
That's right.
All right. Well, Sean, we didn't talk about the Senate race. And folks, just so you know, I didn't do that on purpose because Sean is providing some consulting for the Katie Britt campaign. So being fair, we're going to leave that one alone for right now. But Sean Ross, certainly appreciate your input. We'll have you back on another time if you're willing. And thanks for being on Right Side Radio.
Absolutely. Happy New Year. Thank you, sir.
All right, man. You too. All right, folks. That's Sean Ross, principal at SR Communications, former editor-chief of Yellowhammer News, talking about state politics and primaries. And let me just do this. I'm going to spend a little more time on this with you now, just me and you. So here's the thing. What is a primary? I mean, the reality is this. The reality is a primary is when there's multiple, I'm speaking the obvious. I realize I'm speaking the obvious, but let me just say it out loud anyway. A primary is when members of the same party go at it, both or all of them vying for the same office. The interesting dynamic you get is when it's not an open seat. I said that earlier, that in our U.S. Senate race right now, Richard Shelby is retiring. Therefore, it's an open seat, and so you've got this free-for-all right now. You've got Jessica Taylor. You used to have Lindy Blanchard. You've got Mo Brooks. You've got Katie Britt. You've got Mike Durant. And they are all going at it right now for an open seat. That's the ideal. At that point, each one's trying to be the man or the woman. They're all trying to posture and be the candidate. They're trying to show you who they are. There's only two ways to run. There's an old saying right now. There's only two ways to run, scared and unopposed. Well, when you're an incumbent, you pray for unopposed, but you'll run scared if you have to. Being scared, and I don't mean that literally, what it means is you're going to run like your hair's on fire because you do not want to ever underestimate your client or your opponent. So that being said, we've got open seats everywhere. I am right now looking at probably 20% of the state legislature is going to flip this year on open seats and on incumbencies potentially. So we're looking at a pretty good fruit basket turnover in terms of members of the state House and Senate. We're looking at races right now that could technically unseat the governor. We now have a challenged race in the Secretary of State's race. And then on the federal side, we've got open seats running for Congress for Mo Brooks' seat in House District 5 right here in this area with Dale Strong and Casey Wardinsky and several others all getting into that race. And then we've got, on top of that, we've got the gubernatorial race has drawn all that it has. And I'm going to be honest with you, that when you see a primary against an incumbent, that means something. It means a lot more than just an open seat. When a primary is against an incumbent, it means that members of their own party are dissatisfied with the job that they're doing. Or members of their own party are just literally wanting their job. It's only one of two. And I would say in this case, you're going to see over the next 30 days, you're going to see a change in the layout of the political demography because people are going to be signing up for races. The legislature did all they could to keep it at bay, it seems like. They took forever to redraw the lines. You couldn't even run for school board until you knew what they were going to do. Well, they finally did it, and they got new lines. And now they got qualifying. I'll finish up this section when we get back, tell you more about it. We're doing a primer on primaries. How does this work? What do they do? I'll give you the lay of the land when I get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We will be right back.